It's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Good to have you with us. Later today, President Trump is expected to announce his plan for trying to combat what's called the opioid epidemic in America. This because of the significant number of overdoses from pain medications that emergency rooms across the country have seen. Particular parts of the country have been devastated by opioid abuse. Less of an issue here in California, where that is less on average the drug of choice. But what is being experienced in California is a shortage of opioids in hospitals to treat serious pain. With us to talk about the shortage is Pauline Bartolone, who is a reporter on health policy for California Healthline and Kaiser Health News. Pauline, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
How serious is the shortage of drugs?
Well, it's something that all hospitals I've talked to are experiencing, and this is a nationwide shortage in hospitals. Not specific to California, but to be clear, the shortage is not of opioid pills that people can pick up at the pharmacy. It's specific to liquid opioids, intravenous opioids that patients in hospitals get when they have trauma, when they're going in for surgery, or they're being treated for cancer.
All right. And I know one of the problems is with the major company that makes these, with a factory. And so share with us how that impacted their production.
Sure. Yeah, so a mix of market and government factors led to the shortage. Pfizer has at least 60% of the market share of these injectable opioids. And last summer, they cut back on the amount of pre-filled syringes they were producing while they're upgrading their manufacturing plant in Kansas. So with fewer of those syringes out and about, there was kind of a snowball effect with the other IV products like vials of morphine, Dilaudid. Those started going out in short supply. Other manufacturers couldn't keep up. Now supplies are on back order. And providers say that there's also some manufacturing problems because of a production limit that the DEA had imposed on opioids to try to tamp down on opioid misuse.
Why would an effort to tamp down on the manufacturing of tablets have such an effect on the liquid version of opioids that's used under carefully controlled hospital settings?
It's a good question. Well, the production limits apply to all opioids, so whether they're prescription painkillers and pill form or if they're intravenous. So the DEA had imposed a 20 to 25% production decrease last year and this year. And providers like hospital anesthesiologists, oncologists are saying these production limits are hampering efforts to kind of ramp up production and help the shortages in hospitals.
How has this affected surgery schedules?
The anesthesiologists have reported to me that there have been some rescheduling of elected surgeries. So these are not emergency surgeries, but elective procedures like gallbladder procedures or hernia operations may have been rescheduled in some hospitals nationwide.
And are the tablet forms of opioids able to take the place of the liquid form for some of these patients?
Yeah, in some cases where the patients are able to swallow, the providers are giving tablets in place of the intravenous drugs. But providers are saying, you know, tablets take a little bit longer to kick in. They can take up to a half an hour. So patients may be in pain while they're waiting for the tablets to take place.
We're talking with California Healthline and Kaiser Health News' Pauline Bartolone. She's a reporter who's written about the other opioid crisis, hospital shortages leading to patient pain. And there's an increase in potential medical errors because nurses, if they're having to take the liquid opioids from a larger capacity bottle and transfer that, there is greater potential for risk than in the self-contained, you know, smaller doses. dosage vials of opioids that are typically used. With us to talk about some of these issues is Dr. Shalini Shah, who's the head of pain medicine for the UC Irvine Health System and the chair of the Committee on Pain for the California Society of Anesthesiologists. Dr. Shah, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So are you seeing this shortage at UCI Medical Center?
Just about every hospital in California is dealing with the shortage. And as Pauline stated, this is a national shortage. And we are trying to be as proactive as possible to combat the shortage.
Yeah, so what are the ways you're coping?
Well, what we've done is assemble together a team of about 20 physicians, nursing leaders, executives, pharmacy personnel to review our current supplies as well as reconcile our utilization with our supplies on a twice weekly basis. So every other day practically, we're sitting down and looking at our utilization and seeing what other strategies we can implement.
When the federal government was contemplating this dramatic cap on manufacturing of opioids, did your organization speak up and say, hey, if you do that, you're going to put a significant crimp in the pipeline of opioids to hospitals?
I think this was at a national level, and to my knowledge, individual institutions would not have had a place in the discussion for this. This really is on a national level, and part of the opioid epidemic in curbing opioid prescribing and the ability in the facility to obtain prescription painkillers has had this downward stream effect of affecting patients who are hospitalized. And this was, again, at a very national regulatory issue.
All right. Dr. Shah, what about alternatives? Are there other medications other than opioids that physicians, even anesthesiologists, are using in place of the scarce opioids?
Yes, there are quite a few options. As Pauline mentioned, for those patients who can swallow pills, we'll use tablet forms of the opioids. There are some nerve medications or nerve blocks that we can do to numb the pain, for example, leg pain or arm pain, muscle relaxants, and other medications like that. But certainly for those patients, there is a need for IV opiates in the hospital so our patients don't suffer. And as a result of this regulatory or even manufacturing issue, we're coming up with a shortage.
What are your concerns as well about nurses having to deal with larger quantities and to put more effort into controlling the dosage than when they're just the self-contained vials?
Opioids are considered a high-risk medications in most hospitals. And so the system that has been set up has been to ensure safety of the drugs and the care processes that both physicians and nurses use. So when there is a shortage and alternative pathways are recommended or are needed, some of these safety mechanisms may be bypassed.
All right. If you have questions for our guests, we're at 866-893-KPCC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Also with us, Regional Inpatient Pharmacy Director for Kaiser Permanente of Southern California, Donald Kaplan. Mr. Kaplan, thank you for being with us.
Good to be with you.
So what are you seeing at the pharmacy level with this?
Well, as has been mentioned by the other contributors, we initially saw a reduction in the allocations of a controlled injectable opioid starting last summer when Pfizer Hospira dramatically decreased their production. And actually, that was, I would say, an irritation for our inpatient pharmacy directors. And in Southern California, that's 15 hospitals and several ambulatory surgery centers and another 21 hospitals in Northern California. We were able to make do because Kaiser Permanente has national purchasing contracts with all of the manufacturers, and we were able to procure sufficient numbers of narcotics. I think the tipping point for our organization was in mid-December when one of the outsourced compounding vendors that we were using that would make pre-mixed patient-controlled analgesia bags and also fentanyl-containing epidural bags that are used in labor and delivery, their plant was shut down because of an FDA inspection, that was the tipping point in mid-December. And since then, it's been a struggle.
And are you able to shift among hospitals as demand waxes and wanes, or what are the ways you're trying to backfill this?
Several things. First, we were able to work with our contracted drug wholesaler to attempt to reallocate the supplies of narcotics that are available. Number two, we are able to shift supplies from our hospitals that are getting larger allocations to those that don't have sufficient amounts. And we have weekly calls with all of our inpatient pharmacy directors to learn about which of the hospitals has shortages versus those that have relative larger amounts. And we shift supplies during the course of the week, sometimes several times per week.
All right. We'll continue our conversation about the opioid shortage at hospitals here in Southern California and across the country. Right now, President Trump is speaking in Manchester, New Hampshire, laying out his plan for dealing with opioids. He says he will cut opioid prescriptions by one-third over the next 3 years. We'll talk about what the implications for that might be for institutional care for people in pain. You have questions, we're at 866-893-KPECC. Back in just 1 minute. Good to have you with us on Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. President Trump speaking right now. He has said that drug dealers should receive the death penalty. He's also said that opioid prescriptions will be cut by a third over the next 3 years. The questions are, what will that mean for the supply of opioids in hospitals, which are also always, in the past few weeks, have found themselves short of supply? We're at 866-893-KPECC. Let me go back to Dr. Shalini Shah, UC Irvine Health System and head of pain medicine. If there is a push to cut prescriptions by that amount, will that have any effect on the availability of the liquid form of opioids for hospitals?
You know, that's a great question, and it seems that the previous cut to opioid pain medications previously led to potentially short supply of our current opioid policies, but we need to have a look at his proposal. From my perspective, as much as a patient advocate as I can be, pain medicine and pain management is important for our patients. So while we are combating an epidemic, I think responsible prescribing of opiate medication is indeed where the focus should be, and not just across the board limiting prescribing.
All right. We have Crystal writes on the page, is the limitation of the supply going to cause opiates to become more expensive for hospitals and patients? Don Kaplan, Regional Inpatient Pharmacy Director for Kaiser Permanente, will this affect your costs?
We don't believe it will, because the cost of the raw materials, and to my understanding, is not increasing. And to clarify maybe an earlier comment, manufacturers have to obtain permission from the DEA to increase their production. There are supplies available, but the DEA is more concerned about diversion. And the manufacturers that we've spoken with have to have frequent correspondence with the FDA that has very strict rules about how they respond to these things. But I don't believe we'll see an increase in cost just because of this.
So you said concerned about diversions. That mean that opioids would be immediately diverted after manufacturer into the underground market? Is that what you're referring to?
Well, we're not sure, but we know that the DEA's focus is on ensuring the integrity of the supply chain from the moment that raw materials to make fentanyl or morphine, that the supply chain has absolute integrity from the time it's shipped from the supplier all the way up through including its distribution out to hospitals.
All right. Another question. What are the potential risks for nerve blockers versus traditional opiates for the patient's postoperative recovery? Dr. Shah?
Well, nerve blockers have been used, and I'm assuming that the listener is asking about nerve blocks. Nerve blocks have been used for decades very safely and are a wonderful alternative for pain management. Essentially, we are able to use local anesthetics and numb the nerves that are causing the pain. And it's a wonderful alternative because we're able to avoid using IV opiates or other sedatives, which may put the patient at risk for breathing problems or respiratory issues. So it's a great alternative. And when used appropriately, I would encourage it.
Pauline Bartoloni, reporter for California Healthline and Kaiser Health News. What are the different hospitals or doctors' organizations talking about to try and get the level of liquid opioids increased?
Well, a number of national provider organizations, including the anesthesiologists and the oncologists, the American Hospital Association, sent a letter to the DEA just in the last few weeks, trying to get them to adjust those manufacturing limits. You know, because some of these hospitals, they have, you know, they've completely run out of some of the opiate drugs like Dilaudid, or they have a weak supply or short supply of other. So they're just saying they need intervention immediately. One doctor I talked to, an emergency physician in a large Chicago hospital system, said that, you know, when they first heard about this 6 months ago, whispers that there was going to be an opioid shortage, they just assumed it was going to be so big that policymakers would come up with a remedy, and so far they haven't.
Has the DEA expressed any interest in stepping in here to help?
I actually haven't heard anything from the DEA. I don't think they've responded to that letter yet, but it's a good question.
All right. So at this point, it seems like no one knows how long this shortage is going to last.
Well, Pfizer says that some of its products will be more regularly shipped by 2019. But for the rest of 2018, hospitals may still be seeing these shortages.
Wow. Don Kaplan, are you going to be able to sustain that at your Kaiser Permanente facilities to go the rest of the year this way?
We believe so. And because the smaller manufacturers, I think, are really making an effort to increase their production. And number two, what we call the 503B outsourced compounding vendors, provided that they can obtain raw materials for them to make production, they can produce the bags of patient-controlled analgesia and also epidurals, which really take a large number of these ingredients of morphine, Dilaudid, and fentanyl that we otherwise are having to use to compound those products inside our hospitals.
And Dr. Shaw, is UC Irvine Healthcare going to be able to withstand this for the rest of the year?
I'm absolutely confident we are able to. We've actually been alerted to the FDA shortage notice for quite some time and have made significant proactive attempts to secure opiates. So our stockpile is inadequate supply right now. But that takes a lot of effort, as you can imagine. But I think we're going to be doing just fine.
All right. Thank you so much. That's Dr. Shalini Shaw, heads pain medicine for the UC Irvine Health System and chairs the State Society of Anesthesiologists Committee on Pain. My thanks to reporter Pauline Bartoloni of California Healthline and Kaiser Health News, and the regional inpatient pharmacy director for Kaiser Permanente in Southern California, Don Kaplan. Have a terrific afternoon from all of us at Air Talk. Fresh Share with Terry Gross is coming up next, and I'll be back with you tomorrow morning at 10, right here on 89.3.